Well, one in four children, Australian children, are overweight or obese, and the proportion who are obese rises into adolescence. Governments across the developed world are worried about this, needless to say, and want to try to do something about it. But the question is what? The standard interventions for weight loss include diet, physical activity, and behaviour change. But do they work? That's one of the reasons two so-called Cochrane reviews of the evidence have been performed for children aged 6 to 11 and adolescents aged 12 to 17. The Cochrane Library is an international organisation which brings together the available evidence, a bit like Bruce was talking about, although that wasn't a Cochrane review, I don't think. One of the authors of this review was Professor Louise Barr, who's Head of Child and Adolescent Health at the University of Sydney. Welcome to the Health Report.
Hello, Norman.
So are there not, before we get on to the review, I'm led to believe that the numbers are changing a bit with childhood adolescents and overweight. They're getting a bit better or not?
Here in Australia or in New South Wales, we have about one in four school-aged children who are affected by overweight and obesity. And it looks like that's plateauing. It's not going down. But there's more social disparity. So kids from more socially disadvantaged areas, their prevalence rates are going up. And we have less data about adolescents, but the data we have on adolescents suggests it's not plateauing quite as much.
And one of the reasons we're worried is that you reset your appetite and satisfaction centres and it leads to obesity in adulthood.
We certainly know that having obesity in childhood, but particularly adolescents, puts you at risk for both obesity in adulthood, but also for type 2 diabetes, heart disease risk and so on.
And you're seeing more type 2 diabetes in young people?
We are seeing more of it. We never saw it when I was a medical student 100 years ago. No, not quite, but, you know, in the early 70s.
You're a child, Louise.
Early 70s or in the late 70s or early 80s, we didn't see it. Now we are seeing it.
So tell me about the interventions you looked at in this review, because it's a bit like Bruce was talking about there. You've gathered together the available evidence, but what are the interventions you actually looked at?
In the two Cochrane reviews that were recently released, they mainly looked at multi-component behavioural interventions. So they looked at ones that involved support for behavioural change around dietary intake, around sedentary behaviours, screen time and so on, and promoting physical activity, as well as psychological support around behaviour modification. There have been other studies looking at the few drug therapies that are available, surgery and so on, but these ones were behavioural.
So what did they find?
They found a small but significant improvement in those children or adolescents who had this multi-component lifestyle intervention at 6 months or beyond that, some improvement in their body mass index, in their weight status, 6 months down the track, but it was only modest, up to about a one-unit BMI difference from baseline compared with those who didn't receive the intervention.
So if you're obese and you're over the limit, it's not necessarily going to get you into a position where you're not obese anymore.
Not on average. There will be some people who actually benefit directly from that, but there'll be others who have no response to that at all.
And was it maintained or weight gain moderated?
One of the issues, in fact, these ones seem to do certainly in children and adolescents, the outcome 6-8 months after cessation of intervention suggested that at least some of those effects were maintained a bit, which is a bit better than happens in adulthood.
So when you say multi-components jargon, it sounds very difficult to actually implement. So you've got to teach children about diet, you've got to try and motivate them and incentivize them to change it and no soft drinks and various other things and get up off their bum, which is harder in adolescence than it is in childhood, I understand. And then that's a whole team approach. I mean, you can't do this to the thousands and thousands of children who are obese in Australia, can you?
You're quite right. We can't.
And you're going to get a small effect even if you did do it.
Well, I think one of the things that's important is to actually provide some form of treatment. And until recently, we probably haven't been providing much available anyway. I think there are gradations of severity of obesity, and those people with more severe obesity, more entrenched, higher family risk factors for heart disease and so on, are ones who will need more support. And there's a more lighter touch needed for those with less severe obesity. And we need a range of types of treatment that are available.
But you've commented in this study that the quality of research was poor. So you're asking government to invest millions of dollars, lots of people, to actually get into certain suburbs and do something about it when the quality of evidence is poor.
It's very challenging undertaking weight maintenance or weight loss treatments. It is challenging. Everybody who is challenged by weight themselves will know it's hard. I think we've got some good principles around what needs to occur in this case. We can't wait the 10 years or 20 years till the evidence becomes absolutely perfect before we start to actually do some reasonable types of intervention. And I think we've got enough evidence to suggest what are good what are good elements or principles of intervention, but we need to evaluate those as we intervene on a larger scale.
Do we know that a sugar tax or a fat tax and actually solving the cause, because this is a recent phenomenon and it's not necessarily just about TV time and screen time, about physical activity, it is about the empty calories in a globalised food industry, that regulating that industry, taxing it and creating disincentives to buy unhealthy foods will make a difference?
Norman, I completely agree with you that we need to look at both preventing obesity or the drivers of obesity in the first place, as well as treating those who are affected by obesity. Exactly how we might go about preventing obesity, I think there's a lot of discussion around that. I personally believe that looking at strategies to decrease soft drink or sugary drink intake will actually be helpful because it's non-nutritive, empty calories,
don't help your teeth. Passive. You don't actually have to do anything. You've just got to buy a different bottle off the shelf.
That's right. And there is some evidence, certainly from Mexico, which is has got a sugary drinks tax, that is actually decreasing consumption of sugary drinks and increasing water consumption in
and
that
fat
country.
Tax?
That's a much harder one to actually target as to, you know, where you might put that. It's a harder thing to try to implement.
So given the difficulty of actually dealing with this, what about bariatric surgery and what about obesity reduction drugs in children?
I think we need a whole range of forms of treatment. So we were talking before about preventing obesity. That needs to happen. Treating those affected by obesity is absolutely vital. There is a role for bariatric surgery in adolescents with severe obesity and drug therapy. I wish there were good drugs that we could use well in young people.
Okay, watch this space. Louise, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Norman.
Louise Barr is Head of Child and Adolescent Health at the University of Sydney.